this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
You will have a rejoicing.
Amen.
When God has proved Himself in your life and prove Himself beyond doubt. Say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Why are we having a recourse at this time, And why will it not be this time? Whichever time. This is the worst time in Christian history when all our claims are contested. All that we say, all that we claim, they are contested. And there's an increasing demand to validate our claims and to prove our points, not just by what we say, but by what we also can do. This meeting is therefore loaded with the need to produce evidence in court, in law. When you have proved your case, you know how many cases are thrown out of court and the judges will say that you have not been able to prove your case beyond all reasonable doubts. And nobody who has proved his case beyond all reasonable doubts will lose the case. When Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. See, when you get to court, whoever can call in witness has a stronger point to make. Because then you have made your case, a witness is coming to say he saw it. And the weakness in our witness is down to the fact that many times we make claims about God, about Christ, about who we say we are. We're not able to prove it. Nobody will believe you when you can't prove your point. My greatest prayer in this meeting and after this conference is that you will no longer be doubted.
Amen.
Whoever understands this will say amen.
Amen.
You will no longer be doubted.
Amen.
What you say will no longer be doubted.
Amen.
Nobody will be looking at you with the corner of the eye with doubts of whether or not what you are saying is so. Because you will prove your case.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 1. And that's where it all begins. Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. That's where the whole thing begins. The former triatives. Have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after through the Holy Ghost and giving commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, unto the apostles whom he had chosen. For the first time, people who up until about four verses behind are called disciples. Four verses behind are called disciples. And I've emphasized this point over and over and over and will not stop until somebody hear me. That you are a disciple, for how long? You must cross the line and become apostle. We all start our journey as disciples, but don't die a disciple. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The reason why the issue of infallible proofs was coming so early in the book of Acts was because everything about Christ had been contested, including the most important feature of his life. Not that he died, many others died, but that he rose. And Paul said, if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. But that also was contested. And the leaders told the soldiers that were deployed to guard the grave, and they taught them what to say, what lie to tell. I've never seen a folly in a claim of security officials like this one, that Jesus rose from the dead and people saw him. The first witnesses of those who saw him were the soldiers who were deployed to guard the grave. They did not only put a stone across the grave to stop him from coming out. That should have been enough. But they also put guards around the grave to make sure that he does not come out. And when the King of Glory was coming out, the Bible says that angels came down and rolled the stone away and sat on it, sitting on it as if to say, if they burn you, well, come and put it back there. And sat on it as if to say, the problem that has been solved will rise no more. And sat there. And the Bible says, for the fear of them, there was an earthquake and a huge vibration. The whole ground was splitting. Rocks were blasting. It all started three days ago when the Bible says that the sun set in the afternoon and the graves opened and the dead since Abel began to come out and walk on the streets of Jerusalem, and they were showing themselves to people. And they were asking you, you've heard of Abraham before? You said yes. He said, this is the one. You heard of Jacob before? You said yes, I'm the one. Why are you here now? We are here to protest that the creature killed his creator. A dark pilot, we're here to protest. And they protested through the streets of Jerusalem as if that was not enough. On the resurrection day, on the resurrection morning, everywhere was shaken. The ground opened up and the Son of God rose. And the guards were there, were caught, they lost their balance and they all fell down because of the earthquake. The vibration under their feet could not keep them in their balance and they all fell. And they saw Jesus coming out of the grave. The strongest witnesses of the resurrection of Christ were those guards who were there. But when they came to town and the leaders wanted to contest the resurrection, and they told them, why did you close so early? Why are you back in town? You're supposed to be at work. They said, sir, the person you asked us to guard is gone. What happened? They said, we were all there. When he came out, you couldn't hold him. They said, even if you were there, you won't stand. The King of Glory walked away. And they said, well, we do not want this your witness to spread. Say that while you were sleeping, God. If we woke up one morning to find out that all the money in Central Bank was gone, and we called the mobile and the mobile police and soldiers with the armored tank and all the security apparatus that were all put in place, and we called them to ask what happened that all the money in the Central Bank is gone, the dollar is gone, the Japanese yen is gone, pound sterling gone, naira all gone. And the explanation that the unit commander had to say was that, "We're sorry, sir, it was when we slept that thieves came and stole the money we were to guard." If this was their own formulated defense, we will leave it at that. But it gets worse when the person to penalize them is the one who taught them to say it. You see, this world will never get better. I'm old enough to know when people deceive you, that's not the best. Or that's not the worst. The worst happens when you deceive yourself. Yo, bani ani to di ju to lo unsun ko leji. Sari, ko se eni ma ji, igba to ba wu lo ma ji. I have a secondary school and members of Word Assembly, people have taught for decades. They come and take their students from the church mission school, where we teach them up to one more year to finish. They take them to in Ilorin, I don't know whether you have them, or else they call them miracle centers, where the answers will be dictated to the students. And you have all of them coming out with A, B, B, nobody even has C. And then that all of them like that dictated Christian parents agreeing that their children, their sons and daughters, should be in a school where the answers are dictated. And I stood in front of church like I'm doing today to ask the parents that if you have taught them how to cheat, if you have taught them how to steal, if you have taught them how to be dishonest in order to carry and bring home a result that is not their own, later on they end up in police station and I am the one you call to come and bail them. You taught them how to steal. Let me get back on track. That the authorities taught the security men to say that it was when they were sleeping that his disciples came and stole his dead body away. And the Bible says that they filled Jerusalem with that information. And the public hearers were so gullible to take that in. What did you say? Excuse me, you said you were sleeping on duty. And they took that gullible story in and filled the whole Jerusalem with it. Don't forget that this fallacy, this falsehood, this lie was being promoted by the authorities. And all the paraphernalia of public information and of herald and of the papers, the media, under the command and control of the authorities were used to promote the lie, in which the lie tellers were dominant, the lie tellers were more powerful, the lie tellers were richer, and those disciples were, when a minority is supposed to push the truth, you need infallible proofs. You are selling against the current. Look, I work, I live among Muslims. I don't have your luxury. If I have not been cultured in infallible proofs, I cannot make the breakthrough I have in the city where I live. I live among Muslims. Muslims are fed up with your preaching. Muslims are fed up with what you are saying. They want to, when you have said it, they want you to show it. I've said two things in one. when you have said it, they want you to show it. That's when it becomes infallible proof. And you must drive yourself hard. Brethren, you must vacate your position of comfort and luxury and put yourself in overdrive. You must drive yourself hard to attain that level where you stand and you say, I am telling you and I can show you before you go. Prophetic authority does not negotiate. So the need for infallible proof became, in fact, the arrowhead for whatever else was left of the gospel. For the gospels had been written by 4 journalists. And many of the incidences were repeated over and over for the purpose of emphasis. That the teachings and miracles and signs that Matthew talked about, Mark also wrote it. Luke also wrote it. John also wrote it. 4 writers that constitute the authority of the gospels. But as far as all of that was concerned in the days of the discipleship, they were all theories. And these same men, as I have always placed that burden upon your shoulder in Lighthouse, that the people who for 3 years were called disciples, came to a point when they crossed the line, and the same person who was called disciple was no more called disciple, he was called apostle. And the day he arrived in the apostolic, they then said it should be Acts. And the sad story of the fact that people who are supposed to be in Acts are still talking about the gospels. Excuse me, sir. The gospels have closed. We are now in Acts. That's what disgusts me when in chapter 19 of Acts, the Bible says that Paul found certain disciples in Ephesus and asked if they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said they have never even heard if there be anything called Holy Spirit. And he asked them, what baptism were you baptizing? And they said they were baptized in the baptism of John. Those were disciples of Apollos, a general overseer who only knew John's baptism. Those are the people causing problem in the Corinthian church when some were saying we are for Apollos. The Bible says he was mighty in scriptures. Great talker, but he only knew the baptism of John. And the baptism of John was used to open the gospels. And we are finding people in Acts who are still relishing the outdated book gospel of baptism. Paul told the Hebrews, he said we should now leave behind the basic principles of repentance and of baptism and of laying on of hands. Leave that behind. And we in leadership have the greatest task today to mobilize the Christian public to move on and go beyond the basic elements and get into Acts. In Acts, you talk less. Can you go to... I don't have it offhand, but you are going to have to find it. Where God called Moses. That should be in chapter 4. Or is it chapter 3 or chapter 4? There was that place where God told him, you are going to look for it. You don't look for it, you'll be here till tomorrow morning. Now, listen, God told Moses, he said, put your hand here, put it there, put it out. He became leprous. He said, put it back there. Became normal. Put the stick down. It became snake. Say, pick it up. It became stick again. You find it, then you know we will close here tonight. And the Lord said, furthermore, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, that was leprous as snow. Go, go, go. Verse 7. And he said, put thy hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom. He plugged it. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, Aminio. Hey, get it. Amisekini. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign. So the sign has a voice. And the sign, the voice of the sign is a compliment to your oral and your orator and oration and your vocabulary and all that you have to say. Hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. There are things you just gloss over. You don't take notice of this. The strength of Moses' ministry was not just what he had to say. Sir, he was a stammerer. May God accord you the voice of a sign. He says, shall come to pass if they will not believe thee, because they may not believe you at first instant, as your first talk, at first speech. They could doubt you forever, but not the signs. Jesus told a certain group of people, say, unless you see signs, you will not believe. He said, if they do not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Amini. But unye, unbeliever lo soro si. Only wo fi gbo tori ko ba o soro. So the disciples carried the burden to tell the public that this Jesus that we are saying, we stole his dead body, what are we going to do with his carcass? And when we stole the dead body, according to the narration of the guards, why did you not follow us to see where we kept it? And you take that to town and you're selling that product, and you had enough gullible fellows to buy it. But because you are the authority, you own the soldiers, you own the police, you own the judges, you are the occupiers and the rulers of synagogues. We are only 12. We are few. In fact, these 12 short ones. We don't have the full force of numbers in our favor. We haven't come from the Bujuas, the Balkaniers. We have not come from those who are cash carriers, who are former fishermen. How much can we push our opinion against the gradient of the public administration? And that is the reason why we have to start the narratives of Acts of Apostles with the concept of infallible proofs. Because generally we are not believed. Generally, we are held in odium. Generally, we are despised. We haven't had a former CV to our personality to gain acceptance and popularity and even prevail in any public debate about this subject. It would be a tragedy if we are not able to prove our point. 3 years of wasted following. It will be a tragedy if we cannot prove our point. We left home. Peter said that much. We left home. We left wife. We left all our business. We were ship owners, ocean liners. We abandoned all that we had and we took to this one. And now we can't prove what we claim to have learned in 3 years. If we can't prove our point, we wasted 3 years of our lives. The burden is heavy to make a proof. Which was the issue in Acts of Apostles, right from chapter 3. When a man who was born lame was their first encounter. I said it here before, that on the day of your first outing, may you not fail. Because if this lame man did not walk, sir, Bible school had to close, principal had to law. Because if that affects Padasi, this one has to walk. On a major day of an encounter in your life when it has to work, because there's nowhere to return to. And the marketplace where they can develop a selling point for their gift and talent, they went to the temple. It was a fellowship time. That, what a place to announce our arrival. We are today. Amen. And the argument among the leaders came to this, that of a truth, a notable miracle had taken place today, and we can see it, and we cannot deny it. And the Bible says the man is over 40 years. Kishomode. And they had to go to the extent of now converting the Pharisees themselves. The Bible says many of the Pharisees were obedient to the faith. The last of them to arrive was Paul. And his argument to the Hebrews, he said, look, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews of the stock of Benjamin. You know, he was Saul. You remember Saul of Saul? No, this Saul in the Old Testament was king. No, son of Kish. You know, people who are Saul in the Bible, they are from Benjamin. So when he came, before he became Paul, you know, he was Saul. And he was arguing his stock. He said, I used to be a Pharisee of Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, I used to be a Pharisee. I used to be one of the Pharisees. And I was one of those who was persecuting the church. But in order to even prove my credentials when I came to join them, because when Peter and Co. were following, I was still nowhere found near. But he told the apostles, he said, he appeared to me also. That is to say that whatever you saw, I also saw. That even though I'm a latecomer, but I caught up with you. Out of all the books in the New Testament, he wrote most of them. The latecomer wrote more than those who came in. And his authority in what he was doing, he said it. He said, yes, he appeared to you. Well, not that he even appeared to you. You were following him until he died. And after he rose, he appeared to you. But excuse me. He appeared to me also. If I have gone with him to places you are yet to go. We traveled to the third heaven and I came back. You are still here. I pray that you will have your own credentials to prove when your record is being questioned. In the Lord today, one day, let me repeat this story for the purpose of this event. I was coming out of the stadium, and one woman who did not enter the stadium held the gate of the stadium in an obscure place where the light is not bright. And I was going to come out of the stadium there. And she said, sir, I've been barren for 16 years. My husband has taken me to all prayer houses everywhere. And since there's no answer and they keep collecting his money, he had banned me from going for any prayer. But he traveled. He's not at home, but he will be arriving this night.
and he must not arrive home before me. So, sir, rush the prayer that you are going to pray for me. And sorry, so, sir. Tori ko gbodo dele ki to dele won bere bi ti mo lo.
Remember now what the prayer was that I prayed, any more than I said to God, God, you heard her. What she said,
abi
mo wo Olorun ti gbo gbogbo to won ni ki rush adua be Jesus ti ko baba gbadura o si bi ta ti ma bere baba wa tin be Olorun ka to de owo, you know. I travel lot of world. I'm a big so Catherine Bobwe, Mama, only King, Sari, so the Baba, so I told her to go. God give you a baby.
I was back in the stadium not long after them again for an event. And this time, she came to where there was light. She didn't appear where there was light because she was afraid that somebody would see her and would go and tell it at home that they saw her in the prayer. And they're going to drag her out. So she came this time and asked if I remember her. I said no, because you are saying you came to the stadium, but where you were standing, the facial definition, I could not recognize you. She said yes. Alaji traveled. Alaji arrived that night and passed just that night in the house. And Alaji traveled again for a long time after that one night. Okay, is that what I say? All right, one shot. And the span of Alaji's long travel, she discovered that she became pregnant. So when Alaji came back, she now told him that you banned me from going for prayers. I sin inside the Lawrence City Stadium to pray. And you arrived that night and traveled again. Since that time, I am now pregnant. Then the Alaji asked her to call me. And when I picked the call, he said, sir, thank you very much for the prayer you prayed for my wife. I would like to come and see you, but give me a night appointment. Because if people see my car at your gate in the morning, there will be riot on the streets. Himself and Baba Saraki, they were the ones who were holding Kwara by the jugular. What am I doing around you? Give me a night appointment. So I gave him a night appointment, and I waited. The moment he drove in, I quickly shut the gate. Because as he said, they must not see his car around my house. So when he came, he said, I've taken my wife. Both of them sat. He said, I've taken her to all kinds of places. And there was no result. But she told me the story of the prayer that took place in the stadium and the results we were getting. He said, sir, I don't need to go to Rome to see Pope. I don't need Jerusalem. I don't need any other evidence to show me that God hears prayer. I have seen this one. Thank you very much. So he gave me bon vita, he gave me milk, all those things. Toma kova woli zerafu. Kova ogeni toma kova. We can vishinu, we ma vishinu, that as we use this to open mouth, when we would above, we would have vishinu, we would have vishinu. I told him that I don't take this type of thing. I only know. Then I knew that he was not understanding it. So I took it. Long story, the baby was born. And they were going to do naming ceremony in front of Alaji's house. And all the imams in Loring have arrived. Then he went and told them that, thank you very much for the love you have for our house and family. But this baby, you will not be the one to name it. Church people are coming, and I don't want them to meet you here. So, how much do you take? Egba, Emma, Emma, Ekron, be by. Emma, you can't watch church, Arab church, Oma, to dancing. You know, the Fekon, by him, be by. He gave them their money and they left. We named the child. The Elijah told me and said, this baby and the mother, take her to your church. As for, leave me. Because me, leave me. But this baby and the mother, let church people, let them go to church. Let them carry themselves to church. Okay. The baby was growing. This story I'm telling you is over 30 years. The baby is married. If Alaji travel and the other children are quarreling in the house, because Alaji has gone to marry many other women and they want Pamojo Elede. The house full. But when Elijah travel and the children are fighting in the house, it is this girl that goes to separate them. Elijah called me and said, there's something different about this girl. That each time he's traveling, he has peace to go. Because he knows that if there's any quarrel in the house, this small girl will settle them. Then he called me one day and said, first, I said, yes, sir, Alaji. He said, well, I'm in Abuja, I've started going to church. Well, I'm in Lori, I'll go to mosque. Oh, I better law me, only say, mo try, I'll be me, oh, try. Mo try, now, my dear, dear, yeah, my dear, dear. Then another day he called me, he said, they are in Ilorin now. I said, okay, welcome, Alaji. Only Pastor Muni, only Emin Mumborami. I'm the one feeding myself. I go to church in Abuja and I'll go to church in Ilorin. Whatever I want to happen, let it happen. And he called the Muslims. Now, why Paul's apostolic evidence became a stronger witness among the Pharisees of whom he was a member before? His own evidence will be stronger than Peter coming to talk to the Pharisees, because he had been part of them before. He knows their language. He knows their tricks. He knows their hand signs. That's why he boasted himself. He said, there's nothing you know more than me. Elijah became the arrowhead of evangelistic proclamation. When he's now able to say, I used to be one of you, and I was with you for so long, and I left you. And I have my reasons. Because I went to a church that produced a sign you can't produce. And I wasn't even there. But I used to follow you, two of us, sit down on the mat together. For more than 25 years, nothing, your God in Islam has not been able to do anything. And this woman went to the stadium and prayed under a dark situation. And we now have a child. Ejo, Emma Bami saw, Emma Bami saw, nonsense. When he that used to be one of them now become one of you against them. And when you meet to talk, you say, no, I don't want to talk, you talk. Igba to fe soro o koko keu ukoko ke ulo la ila la 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 fina la 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 lo la koko ke ulo ta won mo ko to sese wa bo sori Jesu ta won o mo
One of the strong reasons my son, firstborn, Sunday, 9 days ago, was having a service in Abuja in which I was present. And he was telling the audience of his experience and the things that captured his interest very early in life. When his interest and direction was still in formative stage, when he was still trying to decide what to do and where to go. That four people brought a woman to my house in the night and manage her. They couldn't even enter my living room because she collapsed at the passage. And I went to them there. And my three boys stood by the window and were watching. And I started laying hands on this woman to pray for her until I saw that she was strong and stable enough to stand. And then those who held her released her and she stood. I saw after a while she was sweating. I continued to pray until I saw that he was well. I continued to pray until he began to say amen. I began to pray until I found out that he had become part of the prayer and he was sensible enough and sensitive. And then I took her, was shaking, and saw that she was okay. And I called my boys who are watching through the window. Temple said, sir. I said, would you please make coffee and bring it quickly, Milo, and bring it quickly for her. They were watching. They saw her when they were there. So they brought the tea. The woman drank it. And as they were going, the four people who brought her knelt down. We ejo awa no nisoro. So the four of them knelt down and said, could you please pray for us, sir? We too, we need prayer. And I told the woman who had been healed to lay hands on them. And the woman who was brought by them was laying hands on them one by one. It's a scenario to watch. You see, those of us who are in the kind of work that I am in, if I were not preaching today, I would be in a movie industry. The woman they brought was the one who was laying hands on them one by one and commanding their troubles to disappear, and it was disappearing. Because four of them also stood up to testify. So gba won wa dele ton ni a riru eleyi ri o otono so infallible. And Paul said that the sect and the religion I was persecuting was the one I came back to promote. I'm not an illiterate. I was trained under Gamaliel. I'm a lawyer. That the religion I persecuted was the one I came back to promote. I'm not an illiterate. I'm not a stupid person. I saw infallible proof. May the proof of God's move in your life overrule science. May the proof of God's infallible proofs in your life overrule science. Overrule doubt. We are confronting situations that were not adjustable. A blind man, somebody who was born blind, he had no eyeball in his socket. He doesn't need reading glass. Reading glass is to correct vision. This one had no eyeball in the socket at all. There's nothing to correct. Take a man who was born blind who has no eyeball in the socket, take him to an ophthalmologist and ask him to prove how he saw. That's why when the argument came in chapter 9, and there were arguments and arguments and arguments. You know what the man said? The man said, whether Jesus Christ is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know,
I know you don't know. You are not the one who was blind. I'm the one who was blind. He said, one thing I know is that once I was blind, now I see. And that's the end of the argument. May you come to that point where you put every argument on. Rise up on your feet. We have only a few more minutes. Infallible proofs that will silence all critics. When you come up like Hannah did, she who was barren became the mother of seven. Raise your hand and say, Father, infallible proofs in which I will not need any argument. The proof itself, the voice of the first sign and the voice of the second sign would have spoken louder than I can say anything. Open your mouth and ask for it like that. Infallible proof. I need no other argument. I need no other appeal. It's enough that Jesus died. I need no other argument.
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
I pray for you in the name of Jesus. You will no longer need any argument. There will be no more argument. There will be no more argument. All criticism will come to an end. They say you don't know book, but you are coming out with first class. They say you don't know book, but you are the one coming out with the best grade. I need no other
arguments. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
They say you don't have money, but you have just bought a car. You have just built a house that those who have money in Ibadan cannot buy.
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died.
I pray every doubt that they are doubting you. They don't believe in you. You are talking, they're not hearing. After this meeting, there will be infallible proofs. You will turn to be a celebrant. 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 You will kill a cow. You will cook rice. You will cook beans. You will make garments. People will make uniform. And you will take a song. And you'll be the dancer. You'll be in front. And a crowd will be behind you.
Seyon le fe je ni se mota bires. Seyon le fe je ni se mota bires. Tori Jesu gbona ara gbe mi ga. Seyon le fe je ni se mota bires. Seyon le fe je ni se mota bires. Tori Jesu gbona ara gbe mi ga.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace. Through God's choice servant, we believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's choice servant in life-changing services at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.